you can be 40 plus, start all over, and meet some amazing person. And I believe in love. I have so much hope.
I'm Patrice Washington, and this is the Redefining Wealth Podcast, where authenticity leads to alignment and abundance. Join us each week as we peel back the layers on what wealth truly means and dive into conversations that inspire, connect, and empower you to live your richest life. Get ready to challenge the status quo. It's time to redefine wealth for yourself. Welcome back to another episode of Redefining Wealth. This is where you come to learn more about what it means to really chase purpose, not money. And one of the ways that we get to chase purpose is to be free. Free to reinvent ourselves, free to allow ourselves to evolve, free to allow ourselves to pivot into the highest and best use, really, of who we are. And that's really what this conversation with author, speaker, and life coach Myesha Chaney is about. Part one was fire last week. I hope you really enjoyed it. I've been hearing good things already. Just this woman's grit, her grace, her beauty, her ability to articulate what a self-love journey really looks like has been a blessing to me. I know it was a blessing to you. And it was just getting good, but our time was winding down. So I asked her to stay on later so that we could talk like two good girlfriends talking about what it's like to be free enough to reinvent yourself and reimagine love and dating in this new age. And so it was so good. You want to pull up a chair, lean in. It gets really good. Share this with your girlfriends who need to know that there is hope on the other side, that all things really can come together for your good. Listen in. Here's part two of my conversation with Myesha Chaney. Okay, so you got on my favorite subject in this season, which is dating. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm so excited.
So
spill the tea.
Girl, I did a whole episode about the boundaries that I have learned in dating. And it was so important for me. And I don't even call them boundaries, really. I use that term because it's familiar. But my friend Sherry Salata taught me the term governing decisions. And in this season of my life, I have set just so many governing decisions so that no matter how tall, how fine, how cute, how rich, how this, how that, the governing decisions say, I will be treated this way. I will be respected, honored, cherished this way, or I will not do X, Y, Z. It doesn't matter who it is in any of that, because that's the part of the romanticizing. And I'm not in a season where I don't care how good you look, how fine you are, how faithful you say you are. I don't care if you sit on the front row of the church pews and you know all the scriptures. I don't care about any of that. Being able to discern, that's what dating has taught me. I really made this season about collecting data about myself and about men, about how the world works. Because like you, I was with the same person my whole adult life. So I only knew that person. And I've just had so much fun with it. But I've also been very clear, like, I don't know about you. I wasn't in a season of like, oh, I'm dating to get married. So it really allowed me to be free to just be like, yeah, nah.
Yeah.
It allowed me to move about the cabin freely. Like, yeah, I'm not dating to get married. If that happens, I love for that to happen. But just as a woman who is reclaiming the idea that I can be loved, I can be cherished, I can be adored, I receive male attention well and all of that, I'm going on dates. I'm having fun. Girl, I'm on balloon rides. I'm on hot air balloon rides. I'm in helicopters.
What?
I'm doing all the things. I am enjoying,
Ooh. Friend,
I am enjoying the process of dating and learning myself in the process. But those governing decisions about what I will accept and what I won't, it's very easy now to spot things and to just move accordingly. Cause I'm not going about it like, is this my husband? You're not. You're a date.
Oh no. Yeah. And I think, and men know that. They know the women that want something, but because I've already lived it, it gives me comfort that no, I want that. I want it the right way though. I want it the way that I want it. And I've learned so much in this process that even like my own dysfunction I was the kind of person, I text and then I'm nervous waiting for a response. My body tells me when somebody is a no. And I would try not to, like, I get anxious. Now, I'm telling you, I have a peaceful life. I keep negativity outside. I don't have drama. I don't wonder. I don't watch the news. Like, I don't take in a lot of external things to influence my inside life. I manage my inside life well. So if a person comes on scene and now I'm anxious and then I'm making excuses because a person on the outside looks a certain way, the package looks a certain way, then I got very, very disappointed because I thought, is the world full of these people? I have so much hope. And I had to say, Maisha, you're the common denominator. So if you're still attracting a certain type of person, then you know where your work starts. And then I start saying, okay. And I haven't been on a formal date. I've managed to have a conversation. And then I know by day three, day four, I throw the fish back in the sea. And God has protected me. He has shielded me so that I didn't make even more costly mistakes. And my healing journey, it would have devastated me to go through what I've been through and to get with somebody who did not know how to handle me. And I realized it's not up to them. They don't have the control. I have the power. I have to be the better chooser. And I start saying, okay, you got to go. You got to work on this one. And then I start getting better and better and better at it, that I can look at a person and that discernment is so strong that, yeah, I know you won't even get my phone number. I'm not even giving out Instagram handles anymore. There's no need for us to be connected.
Right, right.
I'm not looking for friendship. I'm not looking for friends. I don't need a bench full of people. I'm not wired that way. That's what it showed me too. How are you wired? I'm wired for companionship. I'm wired for relationship and connection. I love being married. I love being with one person. I love knowing that when I want to go to a movie, I have somebody to go with. Like, I love that. I love building. I love growing. I love the mirror to teach me more of what I need to do and how I need to grow. The institution of it all is comforting. And yet I'm starting this new phase, which I haven't really started yet. How do I go about this life?
Yeah.
I'm 41. So my hormones, I've had to learn sexually how to manage myself. As adult women who've been in a situation for a very long time, that's been a great learning experience, knowing the femininity and like being able to be a woman and like flirt and
yeah,
I'm having a good time.
Good. But
I'm ready to have a good time. I'm ready to have a good time.
I love that honesty. Please keep it real. Listen, the thing is, for those of us who feel so wired for relationship, monogamy, companionship, all these things, which I am too. That's why we lasted in these long-term marriages, right? I totally understand that. But I will share with you that I had to learn that if I did not allow myself to date multiple people, I would get sucked into giving that type of attention to someone who may not deserve it yet. And I have learned that
absolutely
people have to earn the right to continue to progress further, which is why most people did not. Like up until my current relationship, which I am now in a relationship. I am in a relationship. Yeah. Up until my current relationship, people lasted maybe 2 weeks, you know, 5 weeks, maybe seven weeks, probably max. But I also was very honest. I am learning myself in this season, and dating for me is collecting data. And I'm looking for lifetime partnership. I am not at this moment. Like, you have to progress to that. I don't want you to try to sell me a dream on the first conversation or on the first date and think that I'm going to get sucked into your representative. My thing was 90 days minimum. You can't even meet my kid. You don't ask me about it. Don't follow me. I'm not following you. I wasn't even spelling my name the same. People knew my name was Patrice, but they couldn't Google me. Like that, they were going, there were some people who were trying to do the most. They did, I think, like a Google photo search to figure out who I actually was. And to me, you didn't respect my privacy. So that was also a no, right? Like, girl, I have all the things. Anytime you have questions, text me, like all the things. But the relationship that I am now is the most nourishing, most loving, most affectionate, safest, like the honesty, the integrity, the kindness, everything that I listed in my ideal partner list. So that's what I did. I had an ideal partner list and I wrote it. God told me to write that. I was on a plane. I want to say maybe January of 2023. You know, the years all kind of like are cut, you know, since COVID, everything is one big blob in my head. But I was on a flight. I met a couple at an event that I went to in New York. They were so cute. They were so loving. There was just something about their connection I knew was different. And it was so special. And I was thinking about it on the plane to San Antonio. I was headed to speak. He's like, well, you don't even know what you want. You haven't even really written it down. And I was like, okay, I start writing it down, Maisha. I took out my phone and I was like, I want this and this and this. And then it started getting like maybe 7-8 things. And then I said, oh my gosh, I heard someone say you should only have 3 things on your list. So I start deleting it. And the Holy Spirit said, who? That's not for you. Write what you want. Write everything that you want. And the list was 20 something things. Right. And I remember sharing this on Anthony O'Neill's podcast. I didn't share what was on the list. I just said, you know, I had the list and people are like, how dare you have demands and you're a woman over 40 and all. I mean, I was getting wild comments, wild DMs. And I said, I wrote it.
Wow.
Yeah, girl, I made a podcast episode. I won't dumb down my desires ever again in my life. I will not dumb down
ever again
the desires of my heart. These are not demands. They are desires. And I am entitled to my desires. And my list started with kind, like kindness, honesty, integrity, disciplined. It was just, and when I looked at the list one day, I was sharing it with a friend and I said, this is just me. I'm not asking people for anything that I'm not. This is literally just who I am.
Uh-huh.
And I can honestly say, I'm thinking of the list. I'll have to really count it up and share with you. If it's 27 things, I can honestly say the relationship that I'm currently in is about 24. About 24 of those things. And I will say, down to someone who is very into physical fitness, because, you know, I work out a lot and all those things. I'm very conscious of what I eat. I did not ever share the list with him. He knew I had a list. I never shared the list. In the time that we have been together without me suggesting, poking, prodding, this man has lost 30 pounds and is in the best shape of his life.
Stop.
I never said anything about it. I never tried to push. I never tried to navigate. He said, you make me want to be better for you, for my own children, for my own future. And he started inviting himself to the gym. He started doing all the things. He started changing his eating habits, not because I said anything. And in this time, he's lost like 30 pounds. So I am so grateful that I did not let people beat me out of the desires of my heart and that I was clear. And also that I did date multiple people at the time that I met him. I also was going on dates. That's what I mean when I'm saying dating. Like I was going on dates. I was still chatting with other people.
And you were intentional.
I was very intentional. He is the one who earned my exclusivity. He earned it. He earned it. After like 3 months, it was evident. Like it was just evident that he was the person. And I knew from the first week or two, but I gave myself the opportunity to really see for myself, because I know that I'm wired for companionship and monogamy. And I'm like, I don't want to give the gift of Patrice to someone who does not deserve it ever again in my life. So I was willing to date multiple people.
Wow.
Just to be sure, you know, it was a part of my process for me knowing that I know that I know that I know that I could trust myself. And people demonize that, especially, you know, as Christian women, the idea of like, oh, dating multiple people. I'm like, what do y'all think is going on here? Going on dates is not
Yeah.
Like talking to people is what? How else would you find the person? This is not back in the day. This is not the first person who pops up and you're like, oh, this must be my husband. No, we have options and we have a right to explore them.
Yeah, I'm definitely open to multiple dates. I would love it. I think I'm just now at that phase where I'm saying, okay, I need to be more intentional. And I started reading this book called Calling in the One. And that's been very, very helpful to kind of sit in the emotion of it. Like, okay, clear out a drawer in your room. And I'm like, but I just got this whole room to myself. Like, so it's helping me confront. We say out of our mouth, I want love, I want love, I want love. So it's helping me to kind of like create the emotional space to date, the time in my schedule, the, am I going to get on a dating app? That's been like my biggest question. Like, how am I going to do that? Like, so, and it's fun and it's something that I give a decent amount of thought to. Like I hear stories like yours, like, okay, you can be 40 plus, start all over and meet some amazing person. And I believe in love. I have so much hope. And I have just decided to become what I want to attract and be very intentional. I speak to everybody. I just become it.
Yeah.
I'm at the gas station. I listen, whoever I respect men. I love men. I love what they offer. I love what they bring. I love how we were wired. So I know it's not a question. I feel like the next time we do this podcast, we will both be in very different situations, okay?
I love that. I love that. My Isha, but I did all of that. I cleared out the drawer in my bedroom. I cleared out the drawer in my bedroom. I only had one lamp because I was the reader and I was reading all this stuff and I was like, oh, I'm not even prepared to call in the one. I'm not prepared to call in love. So I got rid of that lamp, bought matching lamps. I changed all the pictures around my bedroom to loving photos. So there's like on Etsy, I got these sketches of like, you know, the outlines of like a man and woman embracing, like hugging. Sometimes it blows my mind that my partner, the way that we naturally hug is the way the hug is in the picture. One day we were hugging and I looked at it and I was like, oh my gosh, that's us. But I had it up in my bedroom for like several months before I even met him, like several months before I had ever met him. There were so many things I have a really big bathroom and the girl I was taking up, my former husband and I never shared. We never shared closets. We never shared bathrooms. Every place we ever lived in, we always had separate spaces. It was just, I don't know. I thought it was cool. I used to say, this is what keeps us married. But I also realized it was a form of keeping secrets. But we're going to talk about that another day. Uh-huh, anywho. Uh-huh, uh-huh, so uh-huh. I actually created space in my bathroom for extra stuff, like just a male stuff. Like I was creating space in the calendar. Like you said, I was putting more margin. By the time I got into like seriously dating, I was able to confidently say, I've created space for this. Because my life can naturally be so full. I had to be intentional about if I'm reimagining, if I'm dreaming a new dream, if I'm reinventing myself, I get to redefine what love looks like for me in this season. I get to redefine what relationship looks like. What do I want that to look like? I want to share a space with my partner. I've never been a person that felt like I couldn't. That was just the dynamic that was created. And I was on autopilot. I went along with it, right? I'm like, no, I want to sit and have coffee in the morning with my partner. I want to do these things. I want someone to plan dates for me. Like I was very clear. I was very clear about what I wanted it to look like. And I think that we think when we have governing decisions and boundaries, that these are things that we have to tell people. We don't have to tell them anything. We just have to be it.
And show it.
I move like you better plan a good date. I just move like you. He was not in the habit of opening the door. So he took me on a date and I just sat in the passenger seat. He didn't walk steps away from the car. I just sat there.
And that's so good. But you didn't take that as a something to check off, like, okay, you're not it because you're not this. You took your power back. You know who you are. That is the gift. Knowing that I'm worthy of you handling me this way. And women are so powerful. That's the power that I'm working on in this season, is knowing you're not going to talk to me about sex on the first date. We have no more, the conversation is over. But until I learn that, I accept whatever people are offering and thinking that's okay. That's not okay. And I don't have to tell you that's not okay. I'm going to show you it's not okay. I'm going to change the conversation. I'm going to get off the phone until you figure out you grow up. That's it.
As Iyanla Van Zandt says, you don't get to tell people how to love you. You get to see how they love and decide if you want to participate.
You get to see how they love and decide if you want to participate. The quote of the year.
Every other month, I attend a Super Friends brunch where we talk about everything from purpose to pursuing new dreams and even menopause. Yep, you heard me, menopause, because if you're over 40 and your girlfriends don't keep it real, I don't know what to tell you. But we have these important conversations because how can we redefine wealth if we're not keeping up with our hormonal health? Now, we discovered Happy Mammoth. It's the company that created Hormone Harmony, and it's dedicated to making women's lives easier. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for us. They make no compromise when it comes to quality. Hormone Harmony contains herbal extracts called adaptogens that help the body adapt to any stressors, like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally. And any woman with symptoms of hormonal imbalances can take Hormone Harmony. It's perfect for hot flashes, night sweats, menopause-related brain fog, sleeplessness, occasional bloating and gas. You get the picture. Hormone Harmony can help with all of these things. And for a limited time, you can get 15% off on your entire first order at happymammoth.com by using the code RW at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code RW for 15% off.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Rise, my mushroom coffee of choice, delivers calmer energy, sharper focus, and immune support for a balanced body and clear mind. Plus, it has less than half the caffeine of normal coffee, because you know I don't believe in jitters or crashing. You can get 25% off right now to try it, plus free shipping, if you go to patricewashington.com/rise. That's patricewashington.com/RYZE. I think I can say this as women who got into relationships really early and learned to just be on autopilot and go along with how things were, even just that understanding that I have the power to decide if I want to participate. This is no longer about being excited because you chose me. I'm the chooser. I get to choose who is in my life. I get to choose what capacity I have for people in my life. I get to choose how I'm going to show up. I get to choose what I will accept. I get to choose what I will tolerate. I get to choose what I will settle for if I feel like that. Like, I get to choose. There is something so powerful, especially coming from a place when in 2016, when I found out about my former husband's infidelity that year, I didn't feel like I had the power of choice. I felt like I was in such a big, pretty prison. Steve Harvey told me once, and he used to say this openly, but I remember, like, you know, just having conversations behind the scenes, and he would say, y'all don't understand, fame is a pretty prison. Fame is a pretty prison. And while I never consider myself to be famous, the reality is, once you have a platform, and people know who you are. I was just flying back from LA the other day, and young lady was coming on the plane. I said something to her. I said, oh, your skin is so beautiful. And she was like, are you Miss Patrice? The pillars, right? Instantly. And I was like, oh, hey, yeah. Right? I'm just like, oh, your skin is beautiful, right? And so she's walking past, like, we end up putting ourselves in these pretty prisons where we feel powerless. And if you're listening and you don't have a platform like this, some of you, your thing is you're the one in the family that made it. There are times that I felt like I had to endure my marriage because I was the only person in my family married.
Same.
I felt like I had to be the one to break generational curses, not realizing that I put myself in a whole nother curse, right? That I needed to break free from. I wore that as a badge of honor, even in times when I was being dishonored as a wife. You know what I'm saying? There are so many times where I felt powerless to choose and to definitely choose myself. So to be a woman now at 43 years old, after all of that, who could say, no, I have the power to choose. Like, you don't get to choose me. I'm doing the choosing. I'm making the rules here. These are my governing decisions. And it doesn't mean I'm inflexible, because I'm a wonderful partner. Be clear. One thing that my man will say is I'm a wonderful partner. Be clear.
An asset.
I'm an asset. Be clear. Doesn't mean that I'm inflexible, but I am not in the habit and practice of denying myself or diminishing my desires or not being in my power. And this entire process, if I had to do it again, Maisha, I would do it again, because to find the level of power that I now possess, that I've always possessed, but didn't give myself permission to exercise. Oh, baby. Never again. There's no going back.
Yeah. And that's what I think the target, I never really heard people say this as much, talk about your choices, your power. It was more of like, you just want somebody to love you. And I feel like those voids and those vacancies are often filled when we just pivot our focus. When I started to focus more on what do I want that I get to decide, people take that for granted. Having the ability to decide is a gift. And I would have worked more on that than I would trying to adorn myself or get in the best shape. Or to me, the lion's share of my victory and power has come from owning my power, from finding my voice and being able to say, this is what I want, this is what I need, and to actually do something about it. If I'm not interested, I'm closing the door. I would have never done that. I was the person that buy clothes and keep the tag on them and leave them in the closet. Okay. Just hoarding nice things for a special day. And I would say, well, maybe I would like to have this conversation with this person if I feel alone. I don't need that. If you're not working for me today, and I love you, but I need to throw the fish back to the sea.
Speaking of clothes and leaving the tag on, I saw a picture of you, the side by side, because I was saying to you when we first got on, I'm like, baby, Maisha's hair is always laid and it looks like every day is a photo shoot. You always look so good. You have put on a lot of weight during your marriage.
Yes. So because I didn't cultivate friendships well, all of my community was my ex-husband's family, people we had mutual friendships with, and people that I interfaced with at the church and in our work. So how I dealt with my emotions was eating. Celebrate, we ate. I just ate to comfort myself. Sweets, that was my drug of choice. And I had incredible amounts of discipline, but I didn't know how to self-soothe. So when I had problems, I couldn't talk to anybody. I would go to church. That's what I was doing all the time, praying and helping other people. So that didn't necessarily solve the problem. And so, yeah, I put on a lot of weight, and then I would lose weight, and then I would put the weight back on. And I got to a point, actually, in the pandemic, I lost 50 pounds.
Was it 50? Wow.
I lost 50 pounds in 6 months. No exercise. No Ozempic. No offense to anybody that takes drugs, but I all healthy, all mind over matter, all portion controlled, went off sugar, went off sugary drinks, walked. I would walk 20,000-30,000 steps. I just walked to the grocery store. I walked to pick up the kids. Like, I just walked. And what I didn't realize then was God was teaching me and saying, I'm going to show you what you're made out of. So I referenced that moment quite often that you remember that year that you didn't think you can do it. And it was the hardest year of all. And yet I managed to hold space for me and taking care of myself. I didn't realize the common denominator of all this was my marriage. So now I'm trying to figure out what is my weight and what is my life going to be like as me. And so that's what I've been doing over the past year and a half, is getting in the gym, working out, taking better care of myself, learning how to manage my emotions and not use food as a way to cope. Food is a friend. And as long as food was my friend, I was never going to let it go. So I've been managing that relationship with food and saying, okay, like now I'm stopping the gym. I'm stopping working out with a trainer because I don't want to be buff. I don't want that fit look. I want a leaner look. So I manage that leaner look through diet. So I told him I'm going to be back in a few weeks. Let me manage this for myself and then I'll be back. But yeah, I've had dramatic fluctuations in weight over the past 10 years. But this summer, I'm going to land where I want to land. And hopefully I'll be done for good.
I love that. We always talk about starting with the fit pillar. And I love that you were, you know, doing the walks, because that is one of the ways that I really learned to love myself, was taking that time for myself. And it just being about not necessarily what I look like, but honoring myself for the time I was taking to just do something for me. Because as you know, as a nurturer, so much of what we commit to is for everyone else. It's, I got to go here. I got to go there. I got to be there for this person. I have to, you know, in your case, pray for that person. I have to pick my daughter up, drop her off, da, da, da. And it's like, what is the time that I spend simply investing in me? And for me, the fit pillar and like my health, and I go to the gym because it's my therapy almost. It's just a time where I can just be and just do something for me. It's not about anybody else. And there's very few places sometimes in our lives where it is like that, where it's just for you.
And I do that with the sauna. I sit in the infrared sauna for 40 minutes twice a week. And that's like kind of like my time. And then go to the gym, walk. I walk 3 times a day.
Really?
I just take 30 minutes. Oh yeah. As soon as I wake up, I just get up and just go walk. Then it doesn't matter where I am.
That is wonderful.
It doesn't even matter where I am. I just get up and just walk. I'll take a call and just go for a walk and come back. It's almost like eating lunch. So that's like my way of, it matters to me. I want my body to support me. I want to love the skin that I'm in, and I want to do it in all ways, financially, mentally, spiritually, physically. And it took me a journey to get here, but I love the person that I am. And this is really, really helping me unlock new parts of me. I was never a fitness girl my entire life. I avoided it at all costs. I don't want to work out. I don't. And now I like had to get to 40 to say, come on, let's hit it. Let's sweat. Let's burn. And I said, maybe.
Yeah.
The person that I am calling into my life is a person that will also mirror that. So something shifted, and I'm very happy that it did. And it is very important. And even when I slack or I don't do it as much as I want to, I still give like that grace because I feel better when I'm working out.
Yeah. If there's a woman who's been listening to us for both of these episodes, who's like, you know what? I've been at that crossroads. I know I've been on autopilot. I know that there's more for me, but I'm scared. I'm scared of what doing something different could look like. What advice would you give her?
I would tell her, if she was listening right now at a crossroad and feeling fear, find the next right step and do it. Do it afraid. There is never a circumstance where I have felt afraid and didn't do it and still didn't feel that fear. The fear is going to be there regardless. It doesn't go away if you stay. It just mitigates it for a season. I would rather use that fear. And I move towards what makes me afraid every day. I would not have divorced had I not made a decision to walk toward the fear. walk toward what is making you afraid. Shaking in your boots, do it anyway. There is no science. There is no blueprint. There is nothing that's going to hold your hand, but a decision saying, I can do this. I will do this. I just focused on what is the next right thing. The next right thing was having a conversation. I still didn't think about divorce. The next right thing was going into therapy as a couple. I still didn't think about it. The next right thing was having a conversation with the kids. The next right thing was filing the paperwork. Like, I never really saw way down the road. I just saw enough that I have to make this next step. And sometimes we eat the elephant bite by bite. This may be a season where you just have to take it slow, not get overwhelmed by the whole, because if I would have seen everything that was going to play out, I probably wouldn't have taken the step. I had no clue. There are things you're afraid of based on what you know. There's so many other things that you don't know that will affect you. So don't give so much attention to the things that are right in front of you. Trust yourself. Take the next right step. And you end up exactly where you need to be. That fear and moving toward that fear saved my life. Walking toward what petrified me. My worst fear, if you were to ask me when I was a teenager, what is your worst fear? My worst fear was a broken heart. I didn't think about anything. Losing a parent, like some people would be like, oh, if I just, a broken heart was my worst fear. And unfortunately, I got my heart broken by the same person twice. So had I not been afraid, fear to me now is the sign that there is something special, different that I need to do on the other side. There's some things now I'm afraid of. And because of that practice of divorcing and being afraid and walking toward that fear, I now know you're afraid of it because there's something you need to do on the other side of that. So walk toward it with the questions, with the anxiety, with the fear, with all of it. Keep walking toward that thing.
Yeah. And trust that God is walking with you.
And I know it's easier said than done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. People would tell me that. I'm like, listen, Mom, I'm about to crumble. I'm shaking. Like, I thought death was the only way out. That's how low, how dark. And even still, I wouldn't trade it for the world. Fear is a man-made construct. I personally don't invest a lot into that because fear is what kept me in the state that I was in. I used to be controlled by fear. That's how a lot of religion works in a lot of ways is you better be afraid. I was afraid of my dad. I was afraid of him going off. So fear for me, I have really managed my relationship with that because all those years being perfect Patty, doing everything right, checking off all the boxes, overachiever, because I was afraid of what somebody might do. What? All this extra energy, all this extra effort to be good and to do all these things that everybody wanted me to because I was afraid that you might leave me. And then I do everything right and you leave me anyway? What are we talking about? We get one life. I always say this. We are not going to make it out of here alive. So at some point, you got to really dig deep and say, how do I want to end this thing? And I chose, I am not going to end this thing full of potential, full of promise, full of all of these beautiful, wonderful ideas of how I want to help people. And I don't do it because I am afraid. What is that? What am I actually saying? I want to be loved. I don't want to be rejected. What if it works this time? So I personally replace fear with concrete questions that represents what fear means. I'm not really afraid. I don't know that I can do it. Well, we can handle that, Maisha. We can work with that. And that gives my brain something new to conquer. When we just say fear, we don't know, we don't have a strategy for how we move through that. I put concrete language to that feeling so that I can figure out a way forward.
I love that. And those concrete questions put a demand on your creativity. So when we ask better questions, we can find better solutions, right? Like, because our brains are always going to look for whatever confirms our beliefs already. So if we're like, oh, there's danger everywhere, then we're going to find danger everywhere. But when it's like, okay, there must be a solution. There's someone out there who can support me in getting to my next sooner, quicker, faster. And now our brain is scanning for who those people are because they do exist. But it's the question that we ask that leads us to that demand on creativity. Like now we get to get creative and resourceful.
The Institute for Redefining Wealth offers a 12-month journey to help you redefine wealth using our unique yet proven framework for financial wellness. We'll be your accountability partner, providing clear success paths, resources, and motivation to keep you on track as you work toward your professional and financial goals. Join me along with purpose chasers from all around the world as we level up pillar by pillar to achieve the lives we say we desire. It all begins with a 30-day authentic alignment audit to identify areas of your life that just may be out of sync with your goals. You'll gain access to in-depth training modules, categorized podcast selections, monthly pillar themes, and challenges with cash and prize giveaways, as well as a resource library tailored to your chosen membership level. For more details, visit redefiningwealth.institute. That's redefiningwealth.institute. I can't wait to see you there.
This is so good. I just want to talk to you all day. I know that I can't keep you all day, but this is so good. My desire for this episode was just the number of women who reach out to me in my DMs, who send questions. I just wanted them to hear two women who have really just been through some things, but we're not afraid to at least share what the journey has been like and what we're moving through. It doesn't mean that we have to divulge all of the things. And that's the beautiful thing about it. You can be free and still keep your dignity and also leave other people with their dignity. But to continue to hide and feel shame and embarrassment around something that we're not the first, we're not the last. This has been going on for ages and it will continue to go on. But we need to be clear that you are free to reimagine your life, as hard as it may be. You're free to dream again. You're free to start a new chapter. You're free to date again. You're free to find love. Like, you are free to have the desires of your heart. I just wanted someone who could share in being honest about, yeah, this was hard, but still, the freedom that I feel, I wouldn't trade it for the world. So thank you.
Yeah. I'm so grateful. And I always say, choose your heart.
Choose your heart.
It's hard to stay. It's hard to leave. It's hard to share your story. It's hard to keep it all in. You just choose which heart you want. And I'm so grateful for you, Patrice, lighting up the way. You're the first person I thought of. I was like, Patrice knows. She's been this way.
I've been she this can help. Way. Yes, yes. Well, what we end with here are what we called redefining wealth rapid wisdom questions. So I'm going to ask you a few questions. Just tell us the first thing that comes to mind, okay? The first one is, how do you define success?
Yeah, I think success is living life as your authentic self and making a contribution to elevate humanity on the way.
Love it. How do you define wealth in three words or less?
All encompassing.
That's it.
There we go.
No, I'm kidding. You can go. What did you want to say?
Abundance, all encompassing and abundance. I think that's more than enough for today.
Yes. I kept you long enough. So yeah.
Yeah. I love it.
Got it. What's one book that has helped you redefine wealth for yourself?
Ooh, I'm a reader. I usually do a book a week. I like Mindset. I think Mindset is good by Carol Dweck. One of my favorites is Letting Go. I guess that helps me have internal wealth. I do Letting Go. It's phenomenal.
Letting Go. Who's that by?
It's by David Hawkins.
Letting Go by David Hawkins. Cool.
David Hawkins.
Awesome. And you're going to fill in the blank. My name is, and to me, the truth about wealth is.
My name is Maisha, and the truth about wealth is, it is what you make it.
That's true. I agree. I love it. Maisha, How can folks get in touch with you? And what are you doing in this season in terms of supporting women and just rebuilding your own platform?
Maisha Cheney, I would love to connect with you on social media and even on my YouTube channel. I am in this season helping women live authentic lives. I'm hosting a retreat to Bali in June, and I would love for some beautiful souls that want to just jump and do it. Bali was my first trip on my own by myself after divorce, and it was life-changing. And I'm bringing some people back with me to figure out what their next is.
I love that. I saw that on your page too. You posted it would have been your 19th wedding anniversary when you were in the beautiful yellow dress in Bali.
Uh-huh.
And for me, I was in Mexico. I don't know. So there was a TSA agent that said I was getting my global entry. And he said, oh, you've been a lot of places. Why are you getting global entry now? And I was like, oh, I just turned 40 and I'm, you know, I said something. He was like, oh, you're in a, what did he say? He's like, oh, it's a midlife crisis. I'm like, sir, first of all, just do this interview. This is not your business. And I said, actually, I'm not in a midlife crisis. I am in an awakening and a reckoning, though.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Thanks. Thank you so much. But it seems like, I don't know, these pivotal moments, it is wonderful to get out of your comfort zone, to get out of your typical space and go be someplace that allows you to rejuvenate and refresh and have time to think and all that. So I wish I could come on this trip. I can't be on this one because we have a retreat for my mastermind, but I will be at the next one. You go to Bali again, count me in.
You got it. It's going to be awesome.
Yes. Thank you so much, Maisha. You guys, I hope you enjoyed this two-part episode with Maisha Cheney. Again, my heart was just that you, if you are in a place where you are feeling stuck, where you are feeling like you're living on autopilot, you're not being your full authentic self, there's this duality going on, and you are looking for freedom in this season. It doesn't matter if it's from a relationship, from a job, from a career, from just an environment that no longer serves you. I know that it is scary. I know that it's not easy, but I also wanted you to know that there are people like Maisha out here, like myself out here, that wouldn't trade making the hard choice for anything in the world. And if we can do it, I honestly believe that you can do it. Many times though, you can't just do it by yourself. So whatever support you can find, whether that is reaching out to Maisha for the work that she's doing with women, going on her retreat, coming into one of our programs, the Institute for Redefining Wealth. I don't care who you go to, what you do, but don't die like this. You deserve to be free. You deserve to have the desires of your heart. And authenticity is your birthright. You get to figure out who you are authentically and walk in that powerfully and boldly. So get the support that you need to do that, because it is so beautiful on the other side. Not easy, but it is beautiful in so many other ways. Okay, you guys, I hope you enjoyed this two-part conversation. We have never, ever done that on the Redefining Wealth podcast. I just felt so led and inspired to while we were talking. And I think it's so important to have conversations in your life where you feel free enough to be able to share vulnerably and authentically, and just get the support that you need, want, and desire. And so grateful to have Maisha on the podcast. Remember, all of her information is in the show notes. I definitely suggest following her on Instagram, going to her YouTube channel, just connect with her and let her know that you are a purpose chaser and you heard this episode, and let her know if it was a blessing to you. That's it for this month in our Set Free series. Next month, our theme will be, I'm still toying with the name, honestly, but I know it's about knowing when it's time to pivot and accepting when it's time for your purpose to evolve. And some of us are not free because we're stuck in the box of who we've always been and what we've always done. And we're afraid to let people see our evolution
And I get it. And I want to give you tools, resources. There will be a brand new guide in the Redefining Wealth app. So if you haven't downloaded it, stop now. Get out your iOS device or your Android and just download Redefining Wealth app. Come on in, totally free, general access, still allows you to get the guides. They are jam-packed and powerful to support you, like to really support you through affirmations, through thought-provoking questions, self-reflection, just real activity for you to do to move yourself forward in the pillars and in your life. So download the app and make sure you also rate and review the podcast, because I was told I don't remind you enough. So there's that. All right, you guys, so excited to see you for a brand new month next week. You guys be blessed. And until next time, I want you to go live your life's purpose, find fulfillment, and earn more without ever, ever feeling like you have to chase money. Until next time.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.